Lives within my heart. creation, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King. Though our Lord who seek him, the help of all who find, none other is so loving, so good.
Preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 383. We'll sing verse 2, 3, and then 1.
Also mention about how we do the Lord's Supper now for the visitors that are with
us. Oh, yeah, for the visitors that are here. The bread is put in the cups. Just take the cup and as it's passed through. And don't put it back in the tray. Just put it there on the pew before you. And the same with the cup. And then afterwards, we take them out and put them in the trash can by the door outside. May we keep in memory all that
may we all in
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Son who died on that cruel cross at Calvary to represent his body, that we take it in a manner that would always be pleasing to you, and to remember that body that died on that cruel cross. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we take this cup of food, ran and rest of the blood. I say we Jesus Christ. Amen.
As a matter of convenience, Paul said we should give back to the church to keep it going, to keep everything going. Let's pray. Most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, once again we come to you thanking you for the many blessings. We pray that we give back in a cheerful manner, that the money that we use can be done and we do and use in a manner to be pleasing to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Sorry about that.
He took two.
We have 34 present this morning. Today is July 11th, 2021 for taping purposes. If you would at this time, let's mark our psalm books at number 718. 718 will be the song of invitation after our lesson. And once you've got that marked, let's turn to number 331. 331. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth. 1776, the signing of the Declaration of Independence by members of the Second Continental Congress occurred. 1776. In 1826, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams both died on the same day. I believe it was John Adams that said, "Jefferson lives, not knowing that in another state, another place, he had died himself on that same day." July 4th, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. It is noted in 1884 that the United States received a gift from France. It stands in the harbor of New York. It's known as the Statue of Liberty. And in 1884, it arrived as a gift from France. There's a lot of details about this, but one of the saddest days and times for Freed Hardeman was the fact that the a cappella singers, who were well known for all the activities that they did in churches far and wide, for encouragement for people to come to study at Freed Hardeman, that it performed in the nation's 4th of July celebration before 200,000 people in Washington, D.C. This was their last performance. It was followed by a reception in the Capitol building with the senators of the state of Tennessee present in 1978. On July the 4th, 2021, I celebrated my 42nd year of directing a session at Sergeant's Lake Christian Camp. A lot of people in the area thought that I always was in session 4 because I've been there for 38 of the 42 years of time. But I actually began in session 1. David Chadwell, preacher at Oxford, was announcing that his retirement would come about in a couple of years of time. And so the board of Sergeant's Lake Christian Camp asked that I be the newcomer to Batesville at the time. In 1979, we pick up that particular session and direct that session. They had no idea what I could do at a session to direct a session at camp. And I didn't have any idea what I could do either, but I'd never done that particular thing. But I went to David, talked to him about what he would be doing. He said, "I'm going to be with you." For the next couple of years, he was. And then he retired and moved to Fort Smith, Arkansas. And I don't know that we've ever seen him back on campus since that time. But he said 10 years for him was enough. When I got to the 10-year mark, it was a long time ago. 42 years this year of celebrated as director. But I did not do that but beyond just a couple of years of time with that. The next time out was a time when my good friend Phil Sanders. Phil Sanders, you know, by In Search of the Lord's Way. He does that television broadcast. And he had worked there with Brother in earlier years and was a writer for him program. And he was picked to take up that sword and do that work, and does still a marvelous work. I write him commonly, and he writes back to me, and he enjoyed the fact that we worked together once upon a time. We went to camp, and we had the ideals of camp the same. I couldn't imagine somebody could think about the activities of camp like I thought about, but he did. And he couldn't think anybody else would think about the way of camp that I did, but I did. So he liked it. And before that week was through, we had an opportunity to make one another promise that we'd always stay together in Sardis Lake Christian Camp. And we did for a year, but then something happened. When we worked there at camp, we had a surprise to come in. A young man had come down to work with the church in the area that was sponsoring the camp. And he didn't know the first thing about directing a camp week. So when he drove up in his little car, had a little dog in the car and his wife in the car and their stuff, he had a time getting out of the car, walking the dog across the little ditch right there in the middle of campus, you see. We had no volleyball nets and volleyball deals there at that time. And he walked that little dog over there and staked that little dog out in the sand right there. He walked back across that ditch. He walked up to Phil and me and called our names. "I've heard of both of you," he says. And he said, "I hope that y'all know something about camp, because I don't know the first thing about what to do. I don't have a program at all for this week of camp." We thought he was kidding us, and both said at the same time, "You're kidding us, aren't you?" He said, "No, the brethren told me I was to come here and direct this camp week, and here I am." That was session two. And so Phil and I turned on our heels at that point in time. I said, "Brother Phil, let's go and write the session." We went back up. There's still a spot there in cabin, used to be cabin four for boys. It's the one at the top of the hill. And we sat down on the floor there with a knot hole in the floor. And we wrote the first 3 days of camp. When the devotional takes place, when the prayers take place, when supper is done, when lunch is done, and so forth. The timing of the camp is real, real serious. Because young people who have a lot of time on their own and not know what they're fixing to do will get into trouble at camp. We already knew that. We both knew that. So we wrote it out. Later on in the week, when we got to Wednesday, we saw what was happening along the way. We went back up and wrote the rest of the week. I still have those notes from Phil Sanders, and he still has the notes from me as to the joy that we shared in regard to that particular time. He may hear this because he listens to our internet site, and the CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com is that site. It's on the front of your bulletin, and take that bulletin with you today and see that is there. But then I had an opportunity to meet up with the board in 1983. We had only 14 people that came to camp session four. Only 14 came. Now they had a ball. Hal Johnson was one of the counselors there at that camp. He can tell you about all the trips that they made. They made trips to Bowling Alley, and they made trips to other places and enjoyed camp very much, but there were only 14, and the board had in the essence of what people used to call a conniption fit, because there's no way they could pay the bills on just 14 tuitions for camp. So they were talking about discouraging people from coming and not holding session four, because it had so few people that came. And as a result, they will make a decision, make a vote on that, and I raised my hand, and they said, Brother Austin, what do you have to add to this? And I said, what I want to add to this is that the young man that they got from Ackerman that came up to direct the session is a fine young gospel preacher. He's a good guy. He really loves young people. He worked well with them. But people did not know it. They did not know him. And as a result of coming from Central Mississippi up here, they just did not know to trust their young people in coming to camp with him. And as a result, what I would like to do is offer my services out of session two. I'll leave out of session two and therefore come to session four. And as a result of that, maybe we'll have a little bit more than 14 next year, but then again, it may be just the 14 again. And if we do that, then we'll know for sure that somebody well known in the state of Mississippi had just a few people there, and we can discourage the ongoing with it. So we would cut it out of the whole session. But we have the next year in 1984, 108 young people that came to session four camp. From 14 to 108 is quite a jump. And that 108 we had in that particular program. Where do we sleep? We slept them on the floor on pallets. I brought up the subject of pallets. We knew that the state would not approve that at all. They were getting more involved all the time, and they'd become more involved in all these years. But anyway, they would be people who would not be agreeable to sleeping in pallets on the floor. But it did not hurt us any, and we all remembered that we had slept in pallets on the floor, somewhere at Grandma's house, over to Daddy and Mama's house. And we could enjoy doing that and sleep just as well on the floor with a pillow and a quilt as we could anywhere else. So we slept on the floor. But next year, the next year after that, we did not do that. We had 80-something that came that was allowed to come. We told them that we would allow them. And we can't have everybody in a bed because of that. On July the 5th, your friend and mine, Alan Hires, birthday occurs. Alan Hires' birthday on July the 5th is a memorial thing. I first heard of Alan Hires when I came out of college and went down to Ruleville, Mississippi to preach the gospel there. And in the process of doing that, Brother Hires was heard every Sunday morning on Truth and Love Hour from the Gabriel Church in Memphis, Tennessee. And so he was well known in the Delta. That station listed all the way down to the Delta, no hills, everything. It could get the signal. And he got it. And so I invited him to come and be with us in our special lectureship program that was occurring. And that particular night that he was to be there, would you believe that it was a case, this is when the night occurred for the assassination of one of the civil rights leaders in regard to that particular day and time. He was not allowed to get out of Memphis because of the death of Martin Luther King. And he got to there and saw somebody, and he was a judge there in Memphis by that time, as well as the preacher of the church there at Getwell. And so he announced to him that he was due to speak in a certain appointment at Ruleville, Mississippi. And he had a trip to make from Memphis to Ruleville as a trip. And that's what he had to do. We had a building at Ruleville that was full. It had three sets of pews in it, and it was full. Every pew was taken. And we sang for a while that night, awaiting his arrival, as he called to say that he would not be allowed to be there until they cleared him to leave out of Memphis, Tennessee. That assassination had taken place, and they were locking down all of the highways. And so he did. He stayed there with them, obeyed the law, came down, told us the story, and then he preached to as many people as he had ever preached to out away from Memphis that had stayed there singing songs for an hour and a half, and there he was to preach to us the gospel. And so he preached about the Lord's church that particular night. In regard to this matter, on July the 6th, one of the young men that's been a friend to us in our youth activities up this way, Zane Surrett, 2015, he was just 19 years of age. And he has become a wonderful engineer, a wonderful student, and he will drive from Jackson, Mississippi, where he works every week as an engineer for the state of Mississippi. And he'll drive up to stay the night, probably in Batesville, and drive over and become the preacher for the Clarksdale Church of Christ for many years of time now he's done that. He's committed to that way. That's Zane Surrett. We love him and enjoy him. In 2007, there was a detail that took place. Some people agree with it and some people despise it yet. In 1981, President Ronald Reagan nominated Sandra Day O'Connor to the Supreme Court. She became the first woman to serve on the court at that time. And of course, that's a sore subject for some and some others. It's a great day in the history of the country. July the 8th, Les Ferguson, who has become a great worker in the work in Canada, in Mexico. And he's come in here many times and talked to us about that particular work. And he was 74 years of age, Les Ferguson, Jr. 2009, I had the occasion of doing the funeral service for my boyhood friend, Pat Cockroft. He died at age 62. He was a boyhood friend when I began preaching in 1900. What was the year I began preaching? 1960. He was there a year. And he was there and involved with that activity with me. And he would ride with me and ride with others. I couldn't drive at that time because it wasn't open up. My mom and dad would drive me and he would ride me. Sometime when I preached at Carthage, he would come out to his drive, folks would drive him out to the highway and he'd beat us and he'd go with me. And he was as good a singer as you would imagine. He was good to sing and good to study the Bible with us. And he'd sit out in class and raise questions that others wouldn't ask at all, knowing that we would go further with that study if he asked a question about it and help us out in Bible study times. He was great in that regard. But Pat passed away at the age of 62, and 2011 was the time. He's buried in the Nile Cemetery, where my mom and dad are buried, where his mom and dad are buried as well. His mama still lives. His dad, God, was buried there. And Miss Jane and I, later on, will be buried there beside my mom and dad, as we already have a spot unpaid for because we have paid so much to the cemetery there when we take a donation to them that they said we've already bought the ground on which we'll be buried. So Miss Jane wants to be buried there too, and here we are. At the Nile Church of Christ, south of Kosciuszko. I read this particular part to you to tell you that we all have history and we all have times. But the greatest book of history is found in the Bible, the Word of God. And it is the case that briefly this morning, because I will let you out by 11:30. That's my goal. That's my idea. But let you out that way, because in the days of the Bible, it talks about history in much the same way that I write it down each year. In Daniel chapter 2, in reference to this, listen to what it says there, and read for you if you look at your Bible, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 and 47. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but he shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms that he talked about there in Daniel 2. And it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver and gold, the great God hath made known to us hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof, Daniel told the king Nebuchadnezzar, is true, it's sure. When in Acts chapter 2 we get there, we read in regard to the prophecy that was made, and we read regarding the time in which they found themselves at that day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, similar to that in verse 47, they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Are we not people today who have rejoiced gladly that we have people here who used to be here, their family members were here, that we enjoyed one another through the years, and in reference to that, we still rejoice in having the Lord's church, having favor with all the people, and the Lord adds daily to the church such as should be saved. When you were added to the Lord's church, you were added to that place that's described in Daniel chapter 2 as when he would begin the kingdom. And when we go over to Ephesians chapter 1, in reference to the blood of Christ and the way in which we can be people who are right in God's sight, listen to what it says in Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. Wonderful is the idea that we find ourselves in the Lord's church, blessed in that way, because in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And yet this finds up to us the ideas in reference to the kingdom of God and the church of the Lord. And how do we come into the church of the Lord? And we become faithful people in the church. We become involved with the church. We come involved with salvation and praise one another in the church. That's what we're supposed to do and be. And as we do that, we'll be administered, Simon Peter will tell us in 2 Peter 1, in reference to this matter, we'll be administered into the everlasting kingdom. We'll have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom. We'll be with God forever someday. As we enjoy one another today and enjoy a look at history and a look at the Bible teaching about the Lord's church coming and how the kingdom would come and how it came on the day of Pentecost and how on that particular day God added to the church such as should be saved. He didn't say we would be saved. Some people come into the church become very unfaithful to activities of the church. They do not serve in any capacity their skills that God has given them as a gift, and become preachers and teachers, song leaders and guiders of others. They don't do that. They leave out that particular idea. And how sad it is that that's the case. Because if they would abundantly do that, they would be given an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom someday. When you and I leave this earth, we'll find our reference to the judgment day of God. And we'll find ourselves being the people that God would have us to be. Or we'll hear these words, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's why the Lord said in Acts 2:47, he adds to the church daily such as should be saved. We should be saved. We're in the teaching of it all the time. We're in the opportunity to grow in that way. We're the opportunity to be strong in the faith. And we're the opportunity to be the members of the church that do the work of the hands and eyes and ears and the feet. And we're to do that work with a mouth too. And yet sometimes people drift away from that. When they drift away from that, the Bible tells us that they drift back into the worldly lust and become like the worldly people want them to be. And that's all it is that they do. What a blessing it is to be a person who can come to God and believe in Him and practice His way of life. And as we sing this song this morning in regard to that way, if you're subject to Jesus' invitation and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ by repentance and baptism into Him, Acts 2:38, or by repentance and prayer, restoring your life to Him, Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. It's time to do that right now as we stand together and sing together. Let's do it.
Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Sweetly the tongues are falling, open the door for me, if thou'll heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Door of my heart I hasten, thee will I open wide, though he rebuke and chasten, he shall with me abide. Sweetly the tongues are falling, open the door for me, if thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide.
Thank you all for being here today. John, thank you. He was a real help at camp, and I think you got an award on Friday night, did you not? You were recognized by others, though, for being a person at camp that really did well, and we thank you for being the kind of example you were at camp. God bless you. Appreciate you all for being here today. Tonight, we'll do a service, and we'll have our men's meeting tonight. We have a special question to ask tonight in regard to our future activities. And Mr. Ingram down at the radio station wants us to pick up the 30-minute program on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock that was on there for 40-something years in remembering the Lord's way. And he made a special observation to us that I'll share with you tonight. Cost us very little. And we had a wonderful contribution from Brother Bill Miller in regard to it. And we can do it. But we are meet to be with our men tonight. It's 11:30, and lest I be told that I have lied to you, Brother Tom will lead us in a verse of another song and prayer, and we'll be done.
Number 589. 589. To Christ be loyal and be true, His banner be unfurled, and borne aloft till it is sacred, the conquest of the world. To Christ the Lord be true, ever true.